Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you'd like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
How you guys feeling? How you guys doing on the right? You guys good? You good? Ready on the left? Ready on the left? Ready on the left? Yeah? Ready on the firing line? Yeah? Excellent. Excellent. You guys ready over there? We're a funny church. We are a funny, funny church. You're already blessed, man. All right, I want to get started. If you got a Bible, you can go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 16. So we're in our Sacred Cow series. Anybody enjoying this? Has anybody had their sacred cows tipped over yet? Has anybody been offended yet? So I give you fresh opportunities every week. It's part of my role, fresh opportunities for flaming offenses. Hallelujah. Hey, let me encourage you something. I heard somebody speak about this week, and let me just encourage you. I take all my notes on my phone. That's kind of how I do it. I do it electronically. I often read my Bible on my phone. Your phone is awesome, and it can be an amazing distraction. And I want you to think about what message you're sending Jesus when you're looking at Facebook in the middle of church. When I'm here to sit under the preached word of God, yet I'm not even going to give it 45 minutes of my attention. It's easy to just, I'm on my phone, I'm going to flip over to Twitter, I'm going to flip over to Instagram, I understand that, and if you have to just not bring a phone to fight that, maybe that's what you need to do. I understand. I understand the temptation. The word says if something causes you to stumble, it's better that you tear it out and destroy it. And so if you keep notes on your phone, but you can't help but go to Facebook in the middle of God talking through the preached word of God, then you might just want to put it away. Does that make sense? You guys still my friend? That's going to be far from the most offensive thing I say today. So we're ramping up, if you know what I'm saying. Through the wing. Cow tipping. Is anybody going to send anything? I got a really good question on our cow tipping hotline about people falling down and speaking in tongues. I'm going to hit that one next week. It's going to be pretty good. So if you got one, go ahead and send it in. I share my prophetic vision. So in this series, we're talking about sacred cows. And as we've spoken time and again, and I have it right here in your notes, a figurative sacred cow is something that is considered immune from question or criticism. It's immune from question or criticism. We have to be able to have open dialogue in our relationships. We have to. if you have to fake friendship around a friend, you're not really a friend. You understand that, right? You're not a better friend because you're faking being a friend. You're being a worse friend because they think they have a friend they don't actually have. You get that, right? You say, well, it's going to cause a problem. No, there is a problem. You just don't recognize it. That's the problem. The problem is that, somehow you think it's okay to be fake around people. That's the problem. It's better to have open dialogue and understand what you don't agree on. I had a discipleship meeting this weekend, and I just told some, or this week, and I just said, hey, we're going to disagree on some things. And there's some things that we have to agree on. To have friendship, there's some things we have to agree on. Like, you're not going to gossip about me. If you're going to gossip, we're not really friends. So we can't really disagree on that. Say, you don't believe in gossip, I do, but let's be good friends. Well, no, I'm not going to tell you anything important. You understand what I'm saying? But other things we can disagree on. Like, there's people have different levels of revelation. Some people don't think the Heat are great, and I understand that. There's lower levels of revelation. They might like the Lakers, or they might even buy an iPhone. I understand that. I understand that. It's okay. There's grace. If you can't handle an Android, I understand. And we can still be friends. We can still be friends. Right? You see how I can just look past that and still be friends. Now there's other things, that we have to agree on if we're going to walk together. We have to, if we're going to be in the leadership of a church together, there's certain things that we just can't compromise on, like who Jesus is. We just have to agree on that. What's going to happen in the last day? Well, there's a little room for that. Does that make sense? How does one get saved? Well, we agree the same things on salvation. There's a little gray area in exactly how things happened. Baptism. There's things that we can slightly disagree on. It's okay. But there's things we have to agree to walk together. And a sacred cow is something that nobody's allowed to question. We're just not allowed to question this. I don't have a problem talking about who Jesus is. And if someone comes to me and says, you know, I'm having some genuine, I don't really understand this right here, and I'm not sure I'm convinced. Well, praise God. Let's have conversations. Let's have conversations. It's the things that you're scared to have conversations about that needs to send a red flag. That needs to be a red flag for you. And so some of these things are sacred cows. We just think you just can't question this. You're not allowed to question this. Like how you're supposed to dress in church. That's a sacred cow that some people don't want to touch. And I don't mind touching. We're not going to because we've just blown past it because it's not a big one. But what we're going to talk about one today that some people, it's a personal sacred cow that they don't want anybody to touch. We're going to talk about money today. And we're going to talk about money because Jesus talked about money. We're not going to talk about money because I need money. We're going to talk about money because Jesus talked about it. You know, depending on how you count it, there's 38 parables that Jesus taught, about 38. He taught some of them, you know, they're reflected in different gospels multiple times, but about 38. And out of those 38, 16 of them involved money. Now, if 16 of the 38 involve money, it's probably something he wants to talk about. Now, I understand some people say, you know, we're gonna talk about money in church. I hate that. And when I tell you we're gonna talk about money, I just hear this from a loving spiritual father. When I say we're gonna talk about money, and if you start to get a little anxious, draw back a little bit, a little uncomfortable, we've just stumbled upon your idol. We've just stumbled upon your idol. Because if I can talk about how you get to heaven and how you're supposed to be a husband and how you're supposed to be an employee and how you're supposed to be a son and how you're supposed to operate in the gifts and how you partner with the Spirit of God and how God wants to work your life, we can talk about all that. We can't talk about what's in your wallet. We've just kind of stumbled upon an idol. And God wants to set some people free, and this is going to be awesome. You can write this in your notes. An idol is something in your life you don't want God to mess with. An idol is something in your life you don't want God to mess with. A lot of young people, that's their relationships. A lot of older people, it's their money. It just kind of works that way. You don't want God messing with your money. This is me. This is my money. God, you can be over here. You're not touching my money. Well, I believe God wants to bless all of it. When you talk to the world, they have two accusations against the church. I tell you what, the Spirit of God is going to crash in on this message today, and people are going to get empowered. When you talk to the world, they have two accusations against the church. Number one, bunch of hypocrites, right? Number two, what is it? All they want is your money. Bunch of hypocrites, all they want is your money. Why would they give you those two things? Why would the world say that? Maybe the enemy... Not maybe. I'll tell you what it is. The enemy understands that we create worlds with our words. And if you can get the world not to listen to us by calling us hypocrites, then they don't get changed. That's the enemy inoculating people to the power of our words by calling us hypocrites. Second thing, if he can bind you by your money, then he knows you're never going to come into greater things. The enemy understands the power of giving. The enemy understands that kingdoms are unlocked by your generosity. And he wants to keep you from doing that. Doesn't want you to speak to the world about Jesus because, oh, they think we're hypocrites. I've met more genuine, generous, loving people in church than anywhere in my life. I feel closer to people that I go to church with than in the world. Anybody agree with me on that? I feel like I can trust people in this room more than the average person I run into in Walmart. Would you agree with me? I've had people in my life in this room who tell me the deep doubts of their heart, who tell me what they're struggling with, who genuinely try to live an authentic faith. Would you agree with that? Would you say that's everybody who doesn't know Jesus does that? No. Who's the hypocrite? Christians will be the first ones to tell you, man, I've done things wrong. I have done things that are wrong. I never get it right. I'm never perfect. I'm just trying to get better. I've done things that God should not forgive me, but he forgave me. What does the world say? I don't need to be forgiven of anything. Who's a hypocrite? Are you with me on this? Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? A hypocrite who says one thing but lives another way. Christians are the ones saying, listen, I know I'm not getting it right, and I'm asking for God's power to live right. Is that us? Would anybody say that's me? You talk to someone in the world, you're like, hey, you need to be forgiven. I haven't done anything wrong. I haven't murdered anybody. Then why do you sit up at night worrying about what you did wrong? You're a hypocrite because you're scared. The enemy wants you to think that way so you don't come in here and get forgiven. Same way with money. Same way with money. All they want is your money. You're stupid. Shut up. That's what I'm going to say. As a side note, it's our worship leader's birthday. Is it today or tomorrow? It's her birthday tomorrow. Give Gay. She's turning 21 again. Awesome year. Keep living it. Keep living 21. That's what I say. If the Holy Ghost moves you, you can give her an offering. You can write that check out to her other name, Cash. Listen, the enemy wants you ignorant, but when you carry a spirit of wisdom and revelation, we live our life with a sense of destiny and purpose. We live our life with a sense of destiny and purpose, and that's every area of our life, including money. There has to be a bigger purpose for every area of your life than you. And there has to be a bigger purpose than just getting by. Do you feel like your money is just, I just got enough to get by. It's just enough to get by. I live to make enough money to pay my bills. Do you think God might have a bigger purpose for you than that? Do you think maybe he has a bigger plan for you than being on this treadmill of just making enough money to pay your bills? And hopefully one day I can save enough money to get that wedding and then we'll get married. Or I'll just have enough money to go on a vacation. Or we'll just have enough money that we'll buy a car that doesn't break down. You think that's God's best for you? I have to tell you it's not. It's not. That is a life without destiny and purpose. There should be destiny and purpose in every area of your life. Every area of your life should serve a bigger picture than what it's already serving. I don't go to church just so I can punch a card. There's a purpose for me coming here. And there's a destiny on my church attendance. There's something of me fellowshipping with other believers. There's something bigger involved in that. It has to be more than I'm just punching time waiting to die. There has to be something more than I'm just here clocking time waiting to die. It has to be that for every area of your life. I'm here to let you know, if your money is just going long enough to pay bills, God did not create you to pay bills. We have one of our confessions, someone got offended over one of our offering confessions, and we say, Lord, I traded my life for this money. And someone's like, I didn't give my life to money, I gave it to God. Well, then why do you spend 50 hours a week making money? That's your life. Those 50 hours are your life. You tell an employer, look, I'll give you my life for the next 8 hours if you'll give me money. Okay, well, I will pay you. That's what a job is. And so my life has to be worth something more than just I give my life to you, I get a little money, and I give it to FPL, and then I give it to Sprint, and I give it to the car note, and I give it to my insurance, and I give it to my mortgage, and then that's it. That's my whole life is just so these other people can have money. Do you think that you were created just so other people can have money? Do you really think that's why you're here? God created you, put you on the earth, said spend your whole life so that other people can have money. That's insane. Is it just me or is that crazy? I got to believe I was created for something more than that. I'm not talking greed. I'm not talking about any of those things. But we have to have a sense of destiny and purpose in every area of our life. Now, early in my walk, I have to tell you this, and this isn't about me, but early in my walk, I was exposed to teachings on money that were really just founded in greed, if I can just be honest. And because the offering in money was preached in such a way that it blessed greed, I was slightly offended, I'm going to be honest with you. And something in me, it didn't jibe. Something in me was like, there's got to be, this doesn't fit into the bigger picture of Jesus as I know him. There's something happening here. And so let me just make it more honest. I got beat up at the offering every single week. Every single week it was, and if you didn't grow up in church, if you just, this is the only church you know, you have no idea what I'm talking about right now. But if you've been going to church, this will strike a chord. Every week you would hear, you know, if you give all your money, God's going to make you rich. And if you don't give your money, God is going to curse you. You're going to be cursed, not just cursed, but cursed with a curse. Anybody hear that teaching over and over and over again for way too long? And because of that, because I was not, on one side, I was threatened with God's wrath if I didn't give him money. And on the other side, if I did give him money, every lustful, greedy fantasy I ever had would come to life. And I didn't believe either one of those things. And so you know what I did? I just cut my heart off to all truth regarding finances. The Bible says, because of the traditions of men, the word of God is of no effect. And so I was neutered. My faith was neutered when it comes to finances. Now, I've recently really understood why I didn't agree with so many teachings. And let me try to explain this to you. We live in a kingdom. You understand that? When you're saved, if you're not saved, this isn't for you. We'll fix that later. But if you are saved, you're a member of a kingdom, right? You're a member of a kingdom. And all these teachings on money, you can get rich by the tithes and the offering. They were teaching kingdom principles outside of the kingdom. Let me explain this. We have a married couple, right? When you're in a marriage relationship, there's liberties that you have. There's rights. My son gets to come into my fridge at any time and eat whatever he wants. He has free reign over the food in the house. And he didn't exercise that for many years, but I tell you what, he hit the teenage years and he is exercising that right to eat whatever food he wants. My son can eat. Son, you can eat. This boy is growing. He might be somewhere near 7 feet at the rate we're going right now. He doesn't want me to talk, but I would tell you all, I won't, because he doesn't like me talking about him from the pulpit, so I won't. But he's far more than me. Let me just say that. And at no point is he trying to figure out how to get more food. He's a son. You know, when your kids are young, you got to let them know everybody's fridge isn't yours. We can't just go over somebody's house and you go in the fridge and look for what you want. Our fridge is yours. You can eat whatever you want in our fridge. Right? You with me, right? Now, what if Isaac began teaching people how to act like my son so they can get food out of my fridge? That'd be a problem, right? And what if he said, if you give me money, you can get money out of my dad's fridge? That would be perverse, yeah? That's how the offering was taught to me. Instead of teaching me how to be a son, I was taught a kingdom principle instead of just being taught how to live in the kingdom. You with me? All right. Glory to Jesus. So I'm going to talk to you regarding finances, what it's like to live in the kingdom. You with me? And this is going to break open some people's lives. This is an aspect of kingdom living. There's keys in this aspect of kingdom living that will enable you to receive the anointing and break off a spirit of poverty. It does both. It will break off a spirit of poverty. You need a pen, Lillian? Okay, I got you. I got you. It's your birthday. I need it back, though. So a couple real quick things I want to tell you. Are you guys okay? You still love me? Yeah, we good? Okay, number one, I have no interest in telling you how to get rich. At no point in this message am I going to tell you how to have a house on the ocean or drive a Bentley or become rich beyond your wildest dreams. I don't care. I don't care if you're rich or not. I hope you all get rich. Let me rephrase that. I hope we all get rich. Can I tell you a revelation that God gave me one time? I said this before. Ralph, I said to God one time, somebody was teaching on the tithe. And this guy was basically saying, if you tithe, you know, you give in this and you'll become rich. And I said, Lord, will the tithe really make you rich? He said, if you get enough people to tithe to you, it will. I said, there's something. I'm not doing that, but there's something. That's wild, right? Okay, so I have no interest in telling you how to get rich. Side note, because you already are rich. Number two, I don't believe that anybody's supposed to be poor. Okay? God has not sent poverty to test you. I have no desire to stoke your greed. I want to teach you how to have a kingdom mindset. Okay? You with me? Now we're going to get offensive. So many people are waiting for God to break through their finances and change everything. But God already did all that when you got saved. He's not trying to... You're waiting for God to come and change things. And when you got saved, the kingdom's already inside of you. He's not trying to break into your life. He's trying to break out of your life. He's trying to break out of your life. He's trying to get this kingdom that's in you out of you. And there has to be a way that we express this new kingdom. Are you with me here? Now, you may have seen pastors who blew all kind of money doing all kind of stupid stuff. And you know, you saw that TV show about the real pastors of whatever. Those aren't real pastors, if I could just say whatever. That's crazy talk. Just because someone else has sinned doesn't mean you get to not obey the Bible. People, you invite people to church, like, I knew a pastor and he slept with the secretary. I'm like, what does that have to do with you going to church? What in the world? I went to church and it was filled with hypocrites. Well, there's hypocrites in Publix, you go there. You go to the club, you don't think there's any hypocrites in the club? You go to the club, you just assume people are giving you the wrong name. That don't bother you. Because you got ulterior motives. You go to church and all of a sudden, there's hypocrites up in there. That's where we want them. We want them in church. Where do you want the hypocrite? Are you with me here? All right. So someone else's sin doesn't release you from obeying God. That's in your notes. Luke 16. Now we're going to start reading. Now we're going to get the word. You ready? We're going to dive in. You ready? Get your snorkel ready. Luke 16:10. These words are in red. That means they're really important. He who is faithful in very little is faithful also in much. He who is unrighteous in very little things is unrighteous also in much. Therefore, if you've not been faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth, who will entrust the true riches to you? Verse 12. And if you have not been faithful in the use of what is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Can you say amen? You still with me? Three things here. Got it in your notes. I want you to remember this. Faithful in little, you'll be faithful in much. If you got a job and it's not the job you want, you should be doing that job like it's the one you want. Or it's the only one you're going to have. Heard a joke one time. This guy said, you know what's funny? Employee of the month at McDonald's. You know what's funnier? Not being employee of the month at McDonald's. There's truth in that. You get that? You want a better job? Do a better job. Oh, that's good. See what I did there? You see what I did there with those words? You see that? You got that one? Faithful in little, be faithful in much. We give you little tasks in the kingdom and see how you do those before we give you big tasks. People come in and say, you know, Pastor, can I share a little testimony? We're like, are you faithful in being a greeter? No. Can we get on the worship team? Do you show up on time to be an usher? No. Because this is important. You know, we start worshiping, you're not here. That's a problem. We start greeting and you're not there. We just ask another greeter to stand in there and hand out bulletins. You with me? Amen. Number two is what I want to focus on here. If you're faithful in money, who's going to give you true riches? And number three, if you're faithful in another man's vineyard, you'll receive your own. We have to look at life like there's discipleship happening in every area of our life. The Bible says that he puts rulers over you for a reason. Right? Now you can look at that as a dictator or a prison guard, or you could say somebody who's teaching me life. And if you'll look at your job as discipleship, you're going to grow. If you just say, you know what, I'm a Christian all the time, and at my job, God has me here, and I'm going to do a good job because he has me here to be discipled in this business, then he'll raise you up. But if you look at it as, I'm just here to pay my bills, then that's all you'll get. That's all you'll get. That's all you'll get out of it. So if you're faithful in someone else's thing, he'll give you your own. So let's look at Luke 16:10 one more time. He who is faithful in very little thing is faithful also in much. He who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. Right? You with me? If you ask somebody to fix the tire of your car and they don't get that right, you're not going to ask them to overhaul your engine. Therefore, say therefore. That means these two things are tied together. Faithful in little, you'll be faithful in much. Therefore, if you've not been faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth, who will give you true riches? The goal here is true riches. What are true riches? I believe true riches are the reflection of Jesus' nature. Healing, deliverance, prophecy, power, breakthrough. These are true riches. These are eternal. When you disciple someone and you see their life change, those are true riches. Money comes and goes. These are true riches. And if you want these true, if you don't want these true riches, you're at the wrong church, because this is what we're all about. You know, we're not here for a bowling league. We're not here for pizza night. You know, we're here for true riches. We're here to touch this area with the power and glory of God. That's our purpose. That's all we do. That's our heart, is to affect our community with the love and power of Jesus Christ. Yeah? And you want that? You want that, right? You guys want that? Okay, great. And so he says, therefore, if you're not faithful in little, you won't be faithful in much. Therefore, if you're not faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth, who will give you true riches? Who gives you true riches? God does, right? And he says right here, if you're not faithful in money, who will give you true riches, which is this anointing and power? Saying, oh, you can buy it? No, that's stupid. That doesn't say that here anywhere. But he's saying, if you're not faithful in little things, oh, you're not going to let me fix your car just because I didn't fix your tire right? Yes. Absolutely. If I say, Ron, can you come over and just water my plants while I'm out of town? And he says, sure. And then he comes over and has a party and doesn't water my plants. I'm then not going to let him borrow my car next time. I'm going to say, you're not faithful. I can't trust you. I'm not going to give you more. Does this make sense? Are you with me? Here comes the offensive part. God is giving you power over your finances. Put your hand down, son. We're not taking questions. We love you, though. You rock. You guys okay? He's embarrassing his friends. God is giving you power over true riches. You with me? He's giving you power over your finances. Power over your finances. You are not a victim. You're not God's stepchild. You're not broke because God forgot about you or your life was harder. God is giving you power in your finances. You have to begin to walk in it. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. See, God is in this word here where he says power. The word power talks about ability or force or strength. He's giving you the power, the ability, the force, the strength to create wealth. He's giving you power to create wealth. And if he's giving you power to create wealth, asking him to give you wealth is somewhat stupid. It'd be like Mikey sitting up here with the keyboard that was given to him, right? Mikey, this was a gift. Somebody gave him this keyboard, and he already had one. That's how good God is. He gives given this keyboard. And then he comes up to this keyboard and says, thank you for giving me the keyboard, Lord. Would you play it for me? Oh, Jesus, if you just play the keyboard. Oh, we don't have worship because God won't send the music. Why won't you send the music to Revival Life Church, Lord? We even have a keyboard. Awesome keyboard. Why won't you play it, Jesus? Oh, everybody's got music but me. Why do you love them more? It was the family I was born into. None of them had music. I had a little music, and I just listened to it all at one time, and I don't have any music. Okay, I won't do ungodly dancing to the music. No more twerking, Lord. I promise to send more music. I promise you, just send me music. God is like, listen, I've given you the power. But I might mess up. I want you to do it for me. No. I tried. It didn't work. Well, you might need to take some lessons. You might need to take some lessons and learn of this thing. And of course, I'm talking about music, but I mean money. We're talking about money here. The first step in getting out of the poverty mindset is start taking responsibility for your situation. I'm here because I got down this road. I don't know if there's anybody in this room that somebody broke into your bank account and stole all your money and kept you from making more. Some sort of civil injunction against you from making money. It's just not it. We just do stupid stuff with money. We're not faithful to God, and we're not blessed. It's that simple. You with me? This is kind of, you know, rubber meets the road here. I hope I'm not, you know. But God is strengthening you to get wealth. Say it. God is strengthening me to get wealth. Let me tell you one of the most awesome, you know, if you were in a life group, we sent you a life group survey. If you didn't do it, just repent and just do the life group survey, would you please? Just say, God, forgive me for ignoring everybody and doing my own thing. But here's one of the responses I got back from that, if I could. This is from the survey. I said, what was one of the greatest things that you learned or something? And it said, I am qualified to change the atmosphere of the place in which God places me. I am qualified to change the atmosphere of the place where God places me. Where are you? You are qualified and strengthened to change the atmosphere of that. Are you in the midst of poverty? Good news. God has empowered you to change that atmosphere. Are you with me? Now, what he's trying to do is he's inviting you to see the system of kingdom prosperity. And if you're not living in prosperity in every area of your life, it's because you don't see it yet. You have a very wealthy father. Can I tell you how he crashed into my finances literally yesterday? Now, this is going to sound stupid to some people. And if you're not a believer, this is going to sound totally random. I was given some couches, which that alone, some people would say, hallelujah. You know, I was just given couches. And so I was moving the couches, and Ron was helping me. And I know we look like bodybuilders. I understand that. But this couch was really heavy. And I think it was made out of lead. And it had special gravitational forces on it. I understand. I'm glad it's out of my house because it was super heavy. And apparently there was some sort of spirit on it that was making it super, super heavy. Right, Ron? Because we're strong enough for it. It wasn't us. It was a couch. And so this couch that, you know, let's not exaggerate, it was about 500 pounds. Ron and I were carrying it. And I live on the second floor. And so we had to get this heavy couch out the house and down the stairs. Now, fortunately, this wasn't the couch we were keeping, so we weren't too worried about, you know, what it went through on the way out and down. So we get halfway down my stairs. If you've ever been to my house, you know, the stairs go down and then they turn. Well, if I went to the turn, I'd have to go all the way around. I just wanted to go over, you know, just to go over. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So we got the couch about halfway down, and we just went to go over, right? And so, we did that, and then we heard this poof, sound like something exploded, right? Didn't it sound like something exploded, glass everywhere? I'm like, that can't be good, you know, because I don't think that was in my couch. And so I look out, and, you know, we have these bushes in front of, they're about, I don't know, about 8 feet. And this lamp used to stick out of the bush. There was like a half a light bulb sticking out of the bush at this point. I was like, oh, that's a problem. I was like, Ron, you think anybody's going to notice that? He's like, I don't know if anybody will notice that. Now, I'm not poor, but I don't want to buy a lamp. You know, I just don't. I got stuff I'd like to buy, and that's not one of them. Nowhere on my want-to-buy list is lamp for the bushes. I'm like, oh, man, someone's definitely going to notice that. I have to fix that. And so, you know, I'm just laughing hysterically because I just think it's so crazy that we just destroy. I mean, we destroy. It was like we went Al-Qaeda on that lamp. That thing was gone. There wasn't a single piece bigger than this left of this thing. The metal housing, the glass, it was just, I don't know what happened there. But it was a super gravity on the couch. destroyed the lamp and the bush. And so we're trying to put the bush back together. And it wasn't a pretty sight. And so we finally get the couches on the truck, and we get the new couches, and we bring them in, and I'm like, there's the light bulb sticking out of the bush mocking me, you know? I'm like, oh, man, I should go to Home Depot now. I took a picture of one of the other lamps, put my hand next to it to try to figure out how big it is. I was going to replace it. And I just said, you know what? I'm tired. I'll go a little later. Now, I don't know where you live, but my neighborhood, it does not take long for them to notice those things. And I was expecting a knock on the door at any moment because I could play it off except for the destroyed bush in front of my house. And you can see everything that fell out of the couch as it went over. So there's like little hair bow tie things, and it's pretty clear it's us. So I'm sitting on my new couch, just enjoying that part of it, just trying to focus on the victory. And I'm sitting there, and my wife comes home. I said, "Honey, did you see the bush? You see the lamp?" She's like, "No. What do you mean?" I was like, "The lamp. Go. Did you see the lamp? You probably didn't see it because it's not there anymore. Go take a look." She looks out. She's like, "What? I don't know what." I was like, "You don't see the lamp. Go, maybe you don't see it because there's only half a light bulb. Look again." I go out. This is the God's honest truth. I look out the window, and there's a brand new lamp there. I mean, this is an hour and a half later. It's a brand new lamp there. I'm like, what in the world? I thought, they already called somebody out to fix it. I am scarred. You know, I'm getting a bill. Then I look down the way, and the guy is replacing another one. I was like, did you replace his lamp? I thought, now they replace all of them. I got to pay for all the lamps because I couldn't get the one to match. I'm not paying for all that. I'm trying to move. So I'm yelling to the guy from my balcony, "Hey, did you replace his lamp?" He's like, "Yeah." I said, "I dropped a couch on this lamp. What happened?" He's like, "Oh, I'm replacing them all today. It was scheduled." What? What? I'm not even Kojic, but I did a little dance. Ha, oh, glory to Jesus. I was like, my wife said, "Did that really just happen?" I said, "Absolutely, that just happened. I live in a kingdom. Prosperity is mine. The Lord even protect." It was all a prophetic sign to show me, look, I got you. I got you. You see this? Now, you might just say, "That's a lamp." That's an hour and a half later? What? God is strengthening you. He's inviting you into these, to live in this kingdom prosperity. He's inviting you to get into the system of being in the kingdom with every part of your life. And when you're in the kingdom with every part of your life, this prosperity naturally happens. Okay, we got to get out of the lottery mindset. If only I can get a super rich guy to come to my church. Then no, you are the super rich guy. I got to get the super rich guy out of you. You see what I'm saying? And I'm going to go over some very practical steps on how you do this. Genesis 8:22, you don't have to go there now. I talk about this a lot. It talks about seed time and harvest. It talks about seed time and harvest. This book, this Bible, is written to people who understand an agrarian society. I say that all the time, but it's important to understand who's writing this book and who he's writing the book to. He's writing to people who understand seed time and harvest. They understand. He's writing to people who can't just go down to Publix and get a hot meal. Writing to people that it says, if you want to eat, you know, in late summer, you better plant something in early spring, right? What you're eating right now, the season that you're living in right now, is not because you got good all of a sudden. It's because of what you've done months ago. There's seed time and harvest. There's seed time and harvest. If you're in a dry season, you better start planting seed so you don't stay in the dry season. You understand what I'm saying? You have to constantly be working this out. If you want to get on the worship team, you don't start when it's like, okay, I think I want to be on in March. In March, I'll start being faithful to the church. It doesn't work that way. You say, "Oh, I'll start being faithful in March." Okay, that's awesome. Come back in November to talk about the worship team. Because if you're on this platform, you should already be found faithful. Your bank account is a reflection of how you viewed finances 6 months ago. There is breakthrough. There is all of a sudden, there are suddenlies, there are miracles, but you can't live from miracle to miracle. You with me? You can't live miracle to miracle. Let's turn to Malachi chapter 3. And if you just had a reflex when I said that, don't worry, I'm not going to curse you. Some people know what I'm talking about. I am not going to curse you. Can I tell you some good news? There's no curse in Christ. You there? Malachi chapter, it's the last book of the Old Testament. Go to Matthew and then take a left. I don't believe I've ever taught these scriptures in the history of this church. Matthew chapter 3, verse 6, you there? It says, "For I, the Lord, do not change." Does he change? Does the Lord change? All right. Some people think he changes. "Therefore you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I'll return to you, says the Lord of hosts." But you say, "How shall we return to you? Will a man rob God? You're robbing me." You say, "How have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for you're robbing me, the whole nation of you." That's not good. You don't hear God say that. That's just bad. That's not where we want to live. Verse 10. "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows." Verse 11. "Then I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that you will not destroy the fruits of your ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. All the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts." Can you say amen? So listen, here's the prophet Malachi, and God is speaking to him in the stead of the whole nation of Israel. And he's saying, listen, your priorities aren't my priorities. Your needs aren't being met because your priorities aren't my priorities. As a matter of fact, we don't even think alike. I'm telling you this, I'm telling you, you've robbed me. And you're saying, how have we robbed you? We don't have the same mind. Do you see that? You see back and forth. He says, how shall we return? The Lord says, return to me. How shall we return? You don't even understand that you need to return. We don't have the same mind as God. Will a man rob God? Yet you're robbing me. You say, how have we robbed you? This should be concerning to somebody. When God is saying things to you, and it's out in the blue, and it's out of left field, and we have a, God, you and I have a different mind about this subject. That's a problem. He doesn't say, I need you to return to me financially. He says, I need you to return to me. How am I away from you, God? What are you talking about? I'm the prophet. You're not tithing. You're not with me. Remember the beginning of this. God says, I, the Lord, do not change, right? We agreed he doesn't change. He says, you're not tithing. You're not with me. You're separated from me. He says, you got to bring this whole tithe into the storehouse. He's telling Malachi, you guys don't have the same priorities that I do. God wants to be first in your life. He wants to be first in every area of your life, period. There can't be a mixture. There can't be, I have a God life, and then I have a non-God life. If you have a non-God life, then you don't have God. Because he's all consuming. He's just all consuming. He's everything or he's nothing. It's impossible for God to be number two in your life. Hear me again. It's impossible for God to be number two in your life. I'm standing here boldly saying he's worth giving your life away to. He's worth giving all your time to. He's worth giving your passions to. He's worth being consumed by you. It's okay when you look at your calendar and God's stuff dominates it. That's okay. That's what we were created for. People come and they're like, oh, what's all these manifestations? That's what happens when you walk with God. That's new to you. I understand. Come in. Welcome. Why are they yelling in tongues? Because they're filled with the Spirit and they're talking to angels. Why are they doing that? Because that's what people do in the kingdom. That's new to you. That's okay. Come on. We all get born somehow. Come on in. I'm not gonna apologize for that. I'm not ashamed of that. This is what the Bible says. And we have this warmed over, lukewarm, watered down Christianity that everybody just, let's all just agree that this is good enough. Okay, we'll agree that's good enough because if we tell them everything, they may not want to do it. No. I tell you what, I'll have a church of me, my wife, my son, and Corey, and that's good enough for me. I hope Sarah comes along. I'm willing to go on without her, though. Corey may not. Listen, this is offensive to some people. It is what it is. I'm just preaching the gospel, and that's offensive. This is offensive. I get that. It's completely contrary to everything the world teaches. Because the world does not have a God looking out for it. You do. God's got to be number one. And so God tells us here, that your finances, the first 10% are his. This isn't even an offering right now. We're talking about what belongs to him. The tithe. Tithe means tenth. You get money, the first 10% is his. That's before taxes. Not I give a higher percentage to Uncle Sam than I do God. No. It's not after Uncle Sam takes some, then I'll give the leftovers to God. God doesn't take leftovers. I don't even like leftovers. I hate some leftovers. I don't even want to eat off of your plate because to me it's like leftovers. I don't want to touch it. You want a bite of this? No. But it's your favorite, not when you have it. On my own. I don't want leftovers. I like new stuff. I want the clean stuff. You know what I like to do? I like to get my sock drawer. I like to dump it out and buy all new socks. Then I'm not looking for, oh, does this one match that one? No, they all match because I bought them all at the same time. That's like revolutionary to some of you. Spend that much money on socks? It's two packs of socks. Get out of a poverty mentality. Buy socks. You know the other one of these are, honey? It's whatever other sock I have. It's going to match. I got some dress socks, and I got some regular socks. All my dress socks match, so I bought them at the same time. All my regular socks match, so I bought them at the same time. Simple, right? I like new stuff. I like nice stuff. God wants you to have nice stuff. But he wants to be first in your finances first. You understand what I'm saying? God says, my priorities aren't your priorities. And I'm going to be a couple more minutes, so if you're like uncomfortable, just shift around a little bit because I got somewhere to go here. God wants to be first. He says, listen, you don't have a zeal for my house like I do. He tells you, bring the first 10% into my storehouse, into your storehouse. What does that mean? He wants you to finance the church. Now, I'm okay. I get a paycheck. You could give $1 billion today. It's not gonna change what I get paid, right? And just let me say this, and I don't believe this is for the majority of people in this room, right? If you think that I'm preaching this because I want your money, you need to repent. You need to repent. You don't know me. You don't know me. Oh, you're saying this? No. If you think that, what you're revealing is what's in your heart, not what's in mine. What's in your heart, not what's in mine. I get a paycheck every week. High giving, low giving. I get the same. You hear what I'm saying? We have a staff. They're going to get paid the same. This is about you. This is about you financing the kingdom. And I'm not ashamed that I get a paycheck from the church because that's what the Bible tells me is supposed to happen. I mean, I don't know how many of you go to work and don't want a paycheck. I don't know. Maybe that's how you're living. Come tell me how you work that out. But I see the scripture that says that I preach the gospel. I'm supposed to live off of that. You hear what I'm saying? If you're called to ministry, you're going to live off of that. The Bible's very clear on these things, and I'm not ashamed of it. And I believe that God wants to bless your finances. Hear me in this. Ready? I'm going to say something very bold. It could be offensive. I don't know. Hopefully it's not. God wants to bless the finances of the people in this church. Right? God told me I work for this church, and I go to this church. He wants to bless my finances too, through this church. And I'm not ashamed of that. I don't have to live in poverty to prove to you I love God. If you don't think I love God, find another church. I'm okay with that. Okay? So the Bible says that, are we good with that? We good? If you don't agree with that, you can send me an email and Corey will respond. He'll say, read the Bible. So God wants to be first in your finances. That's the tithe. That's the very first part. That's the first 10%. That's your tithe. First in the finances. You get that, right? That's his. That's his money. And he tells Malachi here, you guys are robbing me because you're not giving me. Don't rob God. That's stupid. That's just a stupid thing to do with your finances. That's just very dumb. Just not very smart at all. That'd be like Lillian getting up here leading worship and saying the first song is going to be about me. And so that's just not smart. That's just not going to usher in a spirit of worship. That's just working against what you want to accomplish. You understand that? When you rob God, you're working against what you want to accomplish. You say, why am I living to pay somebody else? Is God first in your finances? Is the first 10% his? That's just tithe. That's not even the offerings. He says, bring your tithes and your offerings into the storehouse. Your offerings don't start until after the 10% to your local church. You're like, well, maybe this is gossip. I'm going to say it anyways. We had somebody who wanted to be in this church, wanted to be in the pulpit, wanted to preach, wanted to do all kinds of stuff. And then he let me know, I don't tithe here. I tithe to these other people. I'm like, well, that's your church. No wonder I'm not letting you in the pulpit. You tithe where you get fed. Where you get fed. And you're like, well, I give to Compassion. Well, when your marriage falls apart, go to Compassion and ask Compassion how to get fixed. And when you're ready to get married and you want somebody to marry you, go to Compassion International and see if they're going to marry you. When your kid's in the hospital at 2 o'clock in the morning, why don't you call Creflo Dollar and see if he's going to come and visit you? Well, I tithe to Heidi Baker. Well, why don't you see if Heidi Baker's going to come pray for your daughter at 3 in the morning? Why don't you do that? Why don't you see, after service, when we have an altar call, you want a, you know, an hour-long counseling session, why don't you see if Roland Baker is going to do that for you? He's not. Your local storehouse. Your local storehouse. Where you get fed is where you're supposed to store it. That's where your tithe goes. That's hear me, that's where you plant your seed. You hearing me on this? That's where you plant your seed. Here, let me go back and explain something here. There's a three-step deal here, right? And it's in your notes right here. First, plant. Number two, we water. Number three, we anticipate the return. Plant, water, anticipate. All right? Number one, we plant. You put your seed where God told you to plant it. Time and again, he's talking about money. You plant your, I mean, there were so many scriptures that I said are spiritual. They don't have anything to do with money because I was so scarred by financial teachings. I just took the power out of them. And as I began to read them for what the text actually said, I'm like, this is all about money. This is all about money. I got this about 5 years ago. I'm like, this is all about money. And not for nothing. I was broke during all these times that I doubted God wanted to bless my finances. He wants to bless them. Plant it in your local church. You're with me on this, right? You plant your tithe. Now, your offerings, you can go wherever you want. You can put offerings. I mean, we send money to different people here, there, and everywhere. We give offerings. We do that. After we tithe here, we give. My wife and I have a giving level that we don't go below. And it's not 10%. It's not 10%. It's higher than 10%. We just don't give less than that. There's been times where we're like, okay, we have enough money for our tithe and the offering that we said we're going to give, and we don't have money for anything else. I'm like, well, then we don't have money for anything else. Because we're not giving below it. The enemy is not going to tempt me to not give and plant seed. When you eat your seed, that's stupid. Eat your seed in early spring and watch what fall looks like. Can you imagine the farmer saying, okay, we only have 2 buckets of seed. Early spring, let's just eat it. Let's just grind it up and make some bread. That's dumb. Better get that stuff in the ground so you can have something to eat all winter. Because one seed doesn't produce one seed. You with me on this? Okay, so you want to bring your tithes and your offerings into your storehouse. You want to give to Compassion. You want to give to missionaries. I challenge you, look for good ground to sow seed into. There's people in this house that are good ground. And the Spirit's going to lead you. Why don't you just give them $100? Like $100? If that's shocking you to give somebody a $100 offering, I'm inviting you into another world. I'm inviting you into a whole other world of generosity. If you don't dream about giving people lots and lots of money, I'm inviting you into the kingdom. I'm inviting you into the kingdom. My wife and I dream. We've given away cars. We give away furniture. We give away everything. When people say, we're going to have a garage sale, I'm like, I got nothing. We give everything away. I got nothing to sell. We give it all away. When we got rid of our couch, she's like, oh, we didn't give them to somebody. I'm like, I'd be embarrassed to give those couches to somebody. Now, if you don't have a couch, I guess it worked. But are you with me here? There's people in this room that are good seed, good ground. You want to plant your seed in them. You with me on that? Oh, man. You still love me? You guys still love me? You have to if you want to go to heaven. I say it all the time. You want to plant your seed in here, right? You want to plant your seed. How do you water your seed? Now, somebody says, I've been tithing for years. I'm not rich yet. Okay. You get your seed. You plant it every Sunday morning, right? Plant it online. You do whatever you got to do. We're not receiving another offering, by the way. Okay, don't you know, hold your wallet all tight. Think I'm about to say, and now we're going to release the harvest. Just come on up and give your money. That's not going to happen. You missed it. We'll have another offering on Sunday morning next week. Right? You hear what I'm saying? Just relax. I'm not out to get your money. I get a paycheck. Every paycheck I've gotten is cleared. Don't worry. I'm good. You bring your seed into the storehouse, right? What do you do to that seed? Do you gossip about the church, or do you water it with prayer? Let's say your offerings consist 5% of this storehouse, right? 5% of this storehouse is your offerings. What happens if the storehouse doubles? Your 5% doubles. I hope you get this. You want to water this seed by, you pray for this house, you pray for your leaders. There's people who don't understand this, and they curse their president. You understand he's leading our government? You understand when we gossip about our president and we unleash demons on him? He's leading our army. You understand that, right? Like, how stupid can you be and still breathe? I don't understand. It's like you're in a boat across the ocean and you're hitting the side of it with an axe. It's like, you understand that's keeping us from drowning. Let's just tear down our president. If you don't agree with his politics, you can debate the politics all day long. You can debate policy all day long. But don't curse people. That's just stupid. But people do that about the pastor. Oh, he said this. I bet he really wants that. That's holding your seed, man. When we started this church, we had nothing but people in West Boca. I had all these West Boca people come. And I was like, Lord, what in the world? And the Lord's like, do you remember all those years you used to go to that prayer meeting in West Boca? Harvesting. I'm harvesting what I planted. I didn't curse that seed. We just said, well, we're not going to be here anymore. We have to go somewhere else. I didn't destroy the seed that I planted. Are you with me? So you want to tend that garden. You want to water that garden. You want to pray over it. You want to take care of it. You want to ask the Lord to bless it. All right? You want to water it. You want to tend that garden. You want to keep it nice and clean. You're planting your seed and you're tending that garden. And then you're like, well, I've done that and I didn't get anything. The Lord's never going to bless me. There's the problem right there. There's the problem. Galatians 6:9. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if, there's an if there. You hear the if, right? This is what will disqualify your harvest. If we do not grow weary. Listen, let's go back to Malachi 3:10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Now, to you, that blessing may be money. I don't believe that's what he's specifically talking about. I'm talking about the kingdom. I'm talking about true riches. Do you understand when you're in the kingdom, money's no longer a problem? We defined prosperity a long time ago as the ability to make good choices. Jesus had no place to lay his head, but he owned a garment without seam. A very, very expensive garment. He liked good stuff. Jesus liked good stuff. Everything he owned was quality. There was no junk. He didn't take hand-me-downs. You're still going to see it. They fought over his garments when he died. It was so, and he had already been beaten in them. And yet they fought over them. Prosperity is the ability to make good choices. So when your kids have to go to school, you're able to live in a neighborhood that has good schools. That's prosperity. Prosperity is the ability to not worry about money, not live to give your money to other people. That's prosperity. Are you going to have a mansion? I don't know. Who cares? Is that a goal of yours? Come on. I have a higher goal for you. I do have a mansion. It's being built for me right now. It's real to me. I hope it's real to you. Okay, hear me. I hope I'm encouraging right now. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. He says, if you do this, I will rebuke the devourer. Now you say, look, I'm anticipating, I'm sowing seed, I'm still having problems. Here's the last little part right here. He said he would rebuke the devourer, but he won't rebuke a devourer that you have empowered. If you don't manage your money with kingdom principles, you can give all you want, it's not going to help. This is not going to help. If you sign up for bills you can't afford and then don't pay them, if you've shown to not be faithful in finances, don't say he's going to give me $1 million. He's like, if I can't trust you with $25,000 a year, what makes you think I'm giving you $1 million? This isn't a rebuke. I really want to encourage you who've been faithful and those who've wondered, why can't I get ahead? You can get out of this. You have power to get out of this. You have power to get out of this. I want a church filled with wealthy business owners and people who are can affect the kingdom, can affect their surroundings, can affect our community. People who don't say, you know, I gotta buy it from Amazon because it's the cheapest anywhere. Instead, they can say, I want to find somewhere right here in Boca I can buy this thing because I want to bless cities, bless businesses in this city. You understand what I'm saying? I don't have to order from China and save $4. I want to bless someone right here. I want to build the kingdom right here. I want to, you have that kind of business. I know it's a little cheaper somewhere else, but when I use your business, I'm sowing into the kingdom. You see what I'm saying? Just a different mentality. But if God can't find you faithful with your finances, don't be mad at him that he didn't multiply them. You got to be faithful in them. And when you are, he'll rebuke the devourer, every devourer that you're not empowering. We need true riches in this house. We need true riches. Mikey, come on up for me. I want to ask you today, stop destroying your own seed. If you think I've been talking about money, that's not it. It is, but it's not. This is the key. This breaks the cycle of poverty, and it opens you up to true riches. Here's the way God builds, little by little, line upon line, precept upon precept. If you've been faithful to this house, you've watched your life get better. You may not be a billionaire yet, but your life is better. This is the way the kingdom works. You be faithful, and all these things will grow in direct proportion to your character. Hallelujah. Can you get the house lights for me? Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to do something. I'm going to pray for you now. Guys, you rock. You're awesome. You're awesome because you love God. And you're not scared of being faithful. You're all in. All in with your time, all in with your heart, all in with your finances, all in with your testimony. You're all in. God's going to use that. Change the world. I want to pray for some people. If you've not been faithful to God, if you've been robbing God, I want you to repent. That's what you do. You repent. You ask God to forgive you. You turn away from your sin and you turn toward God. I'll use the words of Malachi. Return to God. You don't understand. Oh, I understand. This is truth. Your excuse is not. We say, well, my husband doesn't, you know, he's not really a believer, and he doesn't. I would say, tell your husband, let's do this, honey. Tithe for 6 months. Let's do it for 6 months. If God doesn't rock our world, you can stop. God is faithful. He's faithful. This is my testimony. I'm sharing with you what I know. I'm not going to guarantee you untold riches. I'm not going to guarantee you all your greed gets fulfilled. It's just not true. It's just not true. I'm not going to tell you God wants you poor. That's not true. People say, oh, well, the tithing, that's Old Testament. Well, so is God. Truth is, the tithe is before the law. Jesus talked about it. It's just, if that's your heart, you're saying, like, that's Old Testament. We're in the New Testament. If that's your heart, I understand. So you want to be like the early disciples and give everything. If that's where you're at, that's okay. This week, sell everything you own, and I expect you to put it right here Sunday morning. I'm talking about 10%, but if you say, I want to return the New Testament, 100%, that's okay. Clear out your bank account, sell your car, sell everything you own that's valuable, put it right here. I don't believe God is requiring that of you, though. Is requiring the first of your increase. So I want to give you an opportunity to repent. Father, in the name of Jesus, I've preached your word. I've preached it in truth. I believe I've preached it without manipulation or distortion. And so I ask right now for every man, woman, and child in this room who have not, they've just not been faithful to you in their finances. Father, it's my desire that they operate in true riches. that they would operate in true riches, that they would move into the kingdom where everything they have need of is. Everything they have need of is in the kingdom. So, Father, I pray that they would not try to use kingdom principles to get finances. They would actually just live in the kingdom. Just live in the kingdom. Like every head bowed, every eye closed, and that's everybody in the room. That's tech team, that's worship people, that's everybody. I've been reluctant to do this, but I know God is requiring me to, and that's why I've been somewhat reluctant. I don't want anybody looking around. Nobody in the room looking around. This is between me, you, and God. And I'm just here leading the meeting. If you're repenting today, you're going to repent. You tell God, I'm going to be faithful in my finances now. I've not heard this teaching before. I didn't recognize the importance of it. I heard it and I didn't believe, or whatever, for whatever reason. Every eye closed. I don't want anybody looking around. Don't look. I wonder if anybody's responding. Stay right there. Close your eyes. Put your head down. I don't want anybody looking around. Please, just honor this. I want you to reverence this moment right now. You're telling God, I'm going to be faithful now. Why don't you put your hand up and down? Amen. I see you. Who else? Amen. I see you. Who else? Yep, I see you. I see you. All over the room. Yeah. You're going to be faithful to God in your finances. You're not going to rob him anymore. You're going to trust him. You're going to trust him to meet your need. You're going to get in his kingdom. Hallelujah. And I feel like here's the second thing. You're going to begin being faithful to manage your finances with wisdom. The idea that you can just live life and know how to manage your finances is stupid. You don't need to learn anything. This isn't something that may have been taught around your dinner table growing up. How to manage finances, how to have control over your spending. You may have to actually learn something to do this well. You know, we'll study prophecy, we'll study ministry, we'll study all kinds of stuff. You need to study how to do your money. I want you to repent of spending more than you have. I want you to repent of lusting over things above operating in self-control, which is a fruit of the Spirit. Again, every eye closed, every head bowed. I don't want anybody looking around. That's you. You're just saying, you know what, Father? I have used money for my pleasure. And I've spent money I could not afford to spend. And it's been a pattern. I'm going to repent right now. Put your hand up and down. I don't know who I'm praying for. Yep, who else? Yep, all over the room. Who else? Anybody else? You want me to pray for you? Anybody else? Amen. Okay, let's all stand. All right, you're going to turn from that. You're going to be godly in your finances. I got to tell you, 90% blessed goes a lot longer. You happy? Do you feel empowered to change your circumstances? Do you feel empowered to change your circumstances?